Turn to Genesis chapter 50. I'm going to follow up from Esther this morning. And I'll go back into Genesis a bit. But let's start with, really toward the end of the story, at the end of the story. Verse 15 of Genesis 50. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong which we did to him?" So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father charged before he died, saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, please forgive, I beg you, the transgression of your brothers and their sin, for they did you wrong. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father.' And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also came and fell down before him and said, 'Behold, we are your servants.' But Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive.'" Let's pray. Well, there aren't many wise leaders, we've noted. Our country is not run by Christians. We have a great evil in our land. We expect, Lord, unless you turn the hearts of the citizenry of this country, we expect great judgment that is being piled up against us. But Lord, we do not give up hope because you've told us that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we know, Lord, that in your hands, every person is a candidate for your grace, that they would be changed, that their hearts would be completely made new, that this is an act of God. It is not something that any man can stand against or any man create artificially. So, Lord, we pray for that. And to have a man like Joseph, who was a great leader and had with that leadership and his godliness a great impact upon his world, monumentally, and also had the right attitude and knowledge of it. I pray we would learn much from him. For Lord, he is in a great measure the kind of man we look to see and to know about. For Lord, it is a great thing to have a godly man in a position of power in this world. We pray for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Cindy sent me a picture a few days ago, which I had heard before, that they were now going about the business in I think it's Glacial National Park, of taking up all the signs that say there won't be any glaciers by 2020, since we're past that time and everything's still normal. They'll probably, what they'll do, knowing humans, they might just alter the sign and give them 20 more years, 2040. You know, you're always 10 years away from destruction in the global warming crowd. We're 10, right now, any moment you want to know how long we got 10 years. So, I think Prince Charles said 50 years. I think we got maybe 30 more years left on that. When that runs out, we'll get another 50 years if he's around. And so that's men predicting on faulty groundwork. And, you don't know what's going to happen. We have no way to see the unfolding of the years, and yet we get so confident that we're going to know. Well, In Esther, we're seeing God working ahead of a problem that has not even surfaced in Esther until later on. And yet he's moving beforehand, and he's moving through Ahasuerus, Xerxes. And he's working in Ahasuerus a plan, and Esther and Mordecai and Haman, the whole crowd, to do something. And the people who are involved are going to try to thwart the plan. And this is exactly what happened with Joseph. Look back at Genesis 37. Joseph of course, one of the brothers, 12 brothers, Benjamin was his full brother. Joseph was, one of the sons of Jacob. And we're told that he had dreams. Verse 2 of Genesis 37, Joseph, these are the records of the generation of Jacob. Joseph, when 17 years of age, was pasturing the flock with his brothers while he was still a youth, along with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought back a bad report about them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a very colored tunic, a coat of many colors. His brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, and so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. Then Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Please listen to this dream which I have had. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up and also stood erect, and behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brothers said to him, "Are you actually going to reign over us, or are you really going to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Now he had still another dream and related it to his brothers and said, "Lo, I have had still another dream. Behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me." He related it to his father and to his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have had? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually come to bow ourselves down before you to the ground?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. Then his brothers went to pasture their father's flock in Shechem. Israel said to Joseph, Are not your brothers pasturing the flock in Shechem? Come and I will send you to them. And he said to him, "I will go." He said to him, "Go now and see about the welfare of your brothers and the welfare of the flock, and bring back word to me." So he sent him from the valley of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. A man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the fields. And the man asked him, "What are you looking for?" He said, "I am looking for my brothers. Please tell me where they are pasturing the flock." And the man said, "They have moved from here, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Verse 18, when they saw him from a distance before he came close to them, they plotted against him to put him to death. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Now then, come and let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits, and we will say a wild beast devoured him. Then let us see what will become of his dreams." Now, from that section of Scripture, we see that God has a plan for Joseph and is giving him dreams to reveal it. And Joseph is very taken by the dreams. There's some dreams that you have, and It happens in Genesis. There's more to it than just a dream that makes no sense. So in his dreams, his brothers are bowing down to him, and even his father and mother and his brothers are all bowing down to him. And he's too young to know to keep your mouth shut. And he tells them about it. Because to him, he's a little bit naive. He sees some purpose in this. He's a younger brother. And he sees some significance in his life. So God gives the plan to Joseph. God did the same thing, by the way, with Ahasuerus. Well, not a dream. But Joseph is the touch point for God saving Israel from destruction. There's no threat yet. Ahasuerus was God's touch point with Esther of saving Israel from destruction. Esther in particular. But it hasn't shown up yet. Except Joseph is a godly young man, and Ahasuerus, you know, was having an orgy and a festival at the citadel. He was not a godly man. And so God reveals his plan to Joseph by dreams, and his brothers are not pleased because his brothers, for all that they are older in a position to be honored, and no older brother wants their younger brother to get uppity. And that's just what's happening as far as they're concerned. And you talk about pure selfishness. They're willing to kill him, even to get rid of him. And they say that here. Verse 20. Come and let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Just let's kill him and dump his body. It's like a mob hit. And then we'll see, and this is in particular interesting, then we'll see what comes of his dreams. So you've got a plan of God to kill Joseph and end God's purpose that he's revealing to Joseph by dreams. Because if he's dead, that's it for that. Reuben talks him into just, you know, putting him aside and selling him, you know, and sparing his life. And they ended up selling him into slavery. And that seemed merciful to them. And then afterward, once it was reported that he had been killed, they made that story up, put blood on the coat of many colors, and they watched their father's grief almost to the grave, and they maintained their silence about their deception. These are very, very wicked men. Callous, unfeeling, hateful. I don't know who would be worse, Ahasuerus or these guys. Ahasuerus had no knowledge of the true God. These men do, and they're very evil men. And the cause and effect effort on the part of the brothers was that they would end Joseph's dream by their own actions. Get rid of him by death, or as they settled for, sell him into slavery. They would not bow before him. He would not rule over them. So you have God's vision to Joseph versus the brothers' vision for Joseph. Now the brothers needed what Ahasuerus needed. They needed righteousness. That's what we need in the land. We need a righteous ruler. We don't have. Ahasuerus did not have righteousness. The brothers here did not have righteousness. And their lack of it brought a very bad situation and consequence to Joseph. And God was looking ahead to when Joseph would deliver the land of Israel. A famine would come, and Joseph would be in a position to save the nation, small though it was at the time. But that time was not even close, not yet. It was a decade, more than a decade away. And then Joseph being sold into slavery in Egypt, his life completely changed. He went off to see his brothers, 17. And then he's in Egypt, Genesis 39. Verse 1, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight, became his personal servant, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he owned he put in his charge. It came about that from the time he made him overseer in his house and over all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned in the house and in the field. Now, as far as Joseph was concerned, that's what his job was going to be. He was going to serve in Potiphar's household as his personal servant. Order the household. The household was being blessed. And Potiphar even realized it. And that was the way it was going to be. Except for Mrs. Potiphar. She was, this is not widely known. She had a habit of watching those soap operas every day, every afternoon, after lunch. She'd watch all those soap operas, all that, you know, romance and deceit and things like that. And, you know, after she'd watch General Hospital one day, she got looking at Joseph and she went, mm. And she pitched some woo at him. And he would not pitch woo back because he was a righteous man. She kept on about that because, you know, in a soap opera, that kind of thing takes about 15 seconds to work. She kept pitching. He kept resisting. Finally, he fled, leaving his garment in her hand, and she falsely accused him to Potiphar, who chose to side with his wicked wife and have Joseph, the central cause of the blessings of his house, thrown into prison. So, in chapter 39, we find that Joseph is put in prison. Verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in the jail, so that whatever was done there, he was responsible for it. The chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. So, Joseph is prospering the jail now. First Potiphar's house, then the prison. And the jailer, the chief jailer, recognizes that Joseph is trustworthy and puts everything in his charge. Now, Pharaoh, then, over again the course of time, got mad at his chief baker and his chief cupbearer and threw them into prison. We already know who's in prison, don't we? Chapter 40. Came about after these things, the cupbearer and the baker for the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was furious with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, so he put them in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard in the jail, the same place where Joseph was imprisoned. The captain of the bodyguard put Joseph in charge of them, and he took care of them, and they were in confinement for some time. And then they had dreams. And in their dreams, they relate to Joseph, two things happened. Verse 5, the cupbearer and the baker for the king of Egypt who were confined in jail both had a dream the same night, each man with his own dream and each dream with its own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning and observed them, behold, they were dejected. He asked Pharaoh's officials who were with him in confinement in his master's house, why are your faces so sad today? And they said to him, we have had a dream and there is no one to interpret it. And Joseph said, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell it to me, please. So they told him. Chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dreams, behold, there was a vine in front of me, and on the vine there were three branches, and as it was budding, its blossoms came out, and its clusters produced ripe grapes. Now Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, so I took the grapes and squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. Three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, more days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you will put Pharaoh's cup into his hand according to your former custom when you were his cupbearer. Only, he says. And this is what we do. This is cause and effect. Joseph didn't say, you know, God will get me out of here whenever he chooses to. I don't have to say anything. He says this. Only keep me in mind when it goes well with you, and please do me a kindness by mentioning me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. For I was in fact kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing that they should have put me into the dungeon. So the chief baker says, well, this guy can interpret a dream. So he tells his. Chief baker saw that he had interpreted favorably. He said to Joseph, I also saw in my dream, and behold, there were three baskets of white bread on my head. And in the top basket, there were some of all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh, and the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head. Now, just between us, he should have known that wasn't the same type of dream as the other one. And Joseph answered and said, this is its interpretation. The three baskets are 3 days. Within three more days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and will hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh off you. And the chief baker said, I am sure glad I asked you about that. And it happened just that way. Verse 20, it came about on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his office, and he put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker just as Joseph had interpreted them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. So Joseph is still in prison. The time is not yet in the plan of God to let him out, but the seed has been sown. And when we get to chapter 41, it's two more years. Verse 1, it happened at the end of two full years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he was standing by the Nile. And lo, from the Nile there came up seven cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed in the marsh grass. Behold, seven other cows came up after them from the Nile, ugly and gaunt, and they stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile. The ugly and gaunt cows ate up the seven sleek and fat cows. Then Pharaoh awoke. It happened again. He fell asleep and dreamed a second time. Behold, seven ears of grain came up on a single stalk, plump and good. Then, behold, seven ears, thin and scorched by the east wind, sprouted up after them. The thin ears swallowed up the seven plump and full ears. Then Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream, and he was troubled. Verse 8 says, and he calls in all the magicians and says, you got to tell me what this means. and possibly remembering what happened to the baker. They're not venturing out on that limb. They don't know. But then the mindless one, the chief cupbearer, verse 9, spoke to Pharaoh saying, I would make mention today of my own offenses. Pharaoh was furious with his servants, and he put me in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard, both me and the chief baker. We had a dream on the same night. He and I, each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now, a Hebrew youth was with us there, a servant of the captain of the bodyguard, and we related them to him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each one he interpreted according to his own dream. And just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. He restored me in my office, but he hanged him. So Pharaoh now has a word about a Hebrew youth in prison who can interpret dreams. So he calls him to come. They get him all ready. Verse 25. Pharaoh tells the dreams. In verse 25, Joseph responds. Joseph said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's dreams are one and of the same. God has told to Pharaoh what he is about to do. Seven good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good ears are 7 years. The dreams are one and the same. The 7 lean and ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years, and the 7 thin ears scorched by the east wind will be 7 years of famine. It is as I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. Behold, 7 years of great abundance are coming in all the land of Egypt. And after them, 7 years of famine will come, and all the abundance will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will ravage the land. So the abundance will be unknown in the land because of that subsequent famine, for it will be very severe. Now, as for the repeating of the dream to Pharaoh twice, it means that the matter is determined by God, and God will quickly bring it about. Now, let Pharaoh look for a man discerning and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh take action to appoint overseers in charge of the land, and let him exact a fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 years of abundance. Then let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming, and store up the grain for food in the cities under Pharaoh's authority, and let them guard it. Let the food become as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine which will occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land will not perish during the famine. Now the proposal seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his servants. And you know Pharaoh had an idea. Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom is a divine spirit? So Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has informed you of all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and according to your command, all my people shall do homage. Only in the throne I will be greater than you. Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh took off his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and clothed him in garments of fine linen, and put the gold necklace around his neck. He had him ride in his second chariot, and they proclaimed before him, bow the knee, and he set him over all the land of Egypt. Now again, you've got cause and effect here. You've got Joseph saying, well, you need to plan for this. You need to make sure that you're ready when this happens. God has shown you what's going to happen. He's revealed the future to you. So you got to be ready. You got to put aside in the bountiful years 20%. Put it in storage cities. Guard it. Make it available so that when the famine comes and it wipes out all the goodness that has come in these 7 years, you have grain to give. What a plan. There's no official that smart on earth except by God's wisdom. And in time, the famine came. 7 good years, then there was a famine. It took a couple of years for it really to grip the land. And then there was no bread anywhere. But they heard up in Canaan that they had grain in Egypt. So one day Jacob says, go down and get some grain from Egypt. We need some grain, and they've got it. So off the brothers go, 10 of them. Benjamin stayed home to Egypt. And, Joseph had changed quite a bit from the guy they dumped in the hole. He was now, when they got there, he would have been about 39 years old. So all the years had passed, 7 years of famine, a few years into the famine, that would be about 10. He was, in the prison a while. He was 30 when he stood before Pharaoh. So you've got, quite a bit of age. Plus, these Egyptian clothes they wear, not exactly what they wear up in the homeland. So he would look a little bit different. And they showed up, and Joseph recognized them. And they didn't know who he was. Joseph speaking Egyptian. Plus he understood and could speak Hebrew. They didn't expect that. So they show up, and I'm not going to go through all he did. Joseph played with them a while so he could get Benjamin down. When Benjamin came, he framed Benjamin for high crimes and misdemeanors. So he'd have to stay in the land. The brothers went absolutely crazy. And finally he revealed himself to them that he was their brother Joseph. And they were scared to death. Here's the number 2 in all of Egypt. Their brother. We'll just see what happens to his dreams when we throw him into this pit. Kill him or sell him to slavery. You see, they could not stop what God had revealed to Joseph in God's plan to save Israel during the famine. The Lord in his sovereignty had chosen a famine in the land. The Lord knew that was coming. The Lord was going to bring that. The Lord's got his own things going on. He was going to bring it. Eventually, here's his plan working out. And so here they go to Egypt. And they live there. And in Egypt, remember, the 70 to 75 people that were in, that made up the nation of Israel, they grew into several million people down there in Egypt, in the land of Goshen, until the Exodus. And this is what Joseph has as his perspective in the text that I read at first, is after Jacob dies, verse 15, the brothers said, the only thing keeping us alive to this point is our father. Our father is dead. Jacob's about to turn into the Incredible Hulk on us. And we better lie about this and get some favor out of it. So they made up this story, it would seem, that our father wanted us to tell you something. He wants us to tell you to please don't kill us because we've been bad. And I believe they did show some, sorrow for their evil. I'm not sure why they haven't dealt with it before now. Maybe they did in some way. Please forgive us is basically what they said. And Joseph wept when they told him those things. And it was a tender moment. But you can understand what they were thinking. Is that the normal way of the world is revenge when we do something like this. We're worthy of it. Joseph, wise, understands the providence of God. And he says, verse 19, do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. When you get that kind of wisdom from a higher up in this world, you better not be driving. You'll veer right off the road in shock. Joseph's a wise, godly young man, and now at this time, not as young, but still with the wisdom of God. And he says, you know, he's not in God's place to judge them. God will judge them. But as far as their plan, they meant it for evil. But God providentially overrules and rules his enemies just as easily as his friends. And God intended it for good, to save many people, to preserve many people alive. Not just Israel, but the whole world at that time. We're coming to Egypt. Egypt became a great power because God had set this up and set it rolling with dreams to Joseph years before that now had come to pass. That's the same sovereignty with a godly man as is in Esther with an ungodly man. God's providence always wins the day. We see it everywhere. Let's all stand. Jerry, would you just...